The date was 1992, and the place was the silver screen. A movie entitled A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise made its debut. It's a movie about a military lawyer who is tasked with defending two U.S. Marines that have been charged with murder, the murder of a fellow Marine. And I'm not sure if I remember much about the movie, but there is one scene that I think each and every one who's ever seen or not even seen the movie knows this scene. It is a very famous scene. It's a conversation between Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, their characters. And Jack Nicholson's character is Colonel Jessup, and he's on the witness stand, and he's being questioned by Tom Cruise's character, Caffey, and the conversation goes like this. Colonel Jessup says, you want answers? I think I'm entitled to them. You want answers? I want the truth. And what's the response?
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Thank you. I didn't ask him to do that. He just knew that line. I knew he knew that line. You can't handle the truth. In another famous courtroom scene that took place 2,000 years ago, Pilate was questioning Jesus. You are a king then? Said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And does anybody remember what Pilate says in response? What is truth? And then Pilate walked out of the room. You see, our society has its own saying regarding truth, where it's common to hear the statements like, I have my truth and you have your truth. Whatever works for you is true. Whatever works for me is true. The problem with that is your truth may not actually be the truth. And that my truth may not be the truth. Simply because I insist that something is true for me doesn't necessarily make it true. In this morning's Sunday school class, I proudly announced that I am an avid hockey fan. And my wife chuckled. Because anybody who knows me knows, I'm so not a hockey fan. I don't even know how to skate. But contrary to popular opinion, there is such a thing as absolute truth in this society, which is defined as flexible reality. For instance, it is a fixed fact that there is absolutely no square circles and there are absolutely no round squares. That water in liquid form is wet. It's not dry. That God loves you. That a hamburger can be eaten at any meal. These are truths. And if I were to take this microphone and let it go, it will drop. That's called gravity. It is an absolute truth. It will happen every single time. It doesn't matter if it's a microphone or this thing in my pocket. I drop it. It hits the ground. It falls. That is reality. That is truth. One can disbelieve in gravity, but that doesn't change how it affects when something crashes to the floor. No one will say that gravity works for you, but not for me. I mean, when I look at the scale, maybe it works a little bit too well for me, but that's not how gravity works either. On Wikipedia, which is such a wonderful place of truth, it actually defines truth this way: of being in accord with fact or reality. That's actually pretty good for Wikipedia. Webster defines it this way: fidelity and constancy and fact. In a word, truth is reality. It's how things really are. The Greek word for truth literally means to unhide or to hide nothing. And the idea is that truth is always there. Truth may be evaded, but you can't make it evaporate. Now, the Hebrew word for truth means firmness, consistency, durability. So true truth is timeless. It can be relied upon. In short, truth is simply what is. And telling the truth is telling it like it is. But truth is not simply whatever works. That's pragmatism. Truth is not what makes people feel good. That's hedonism. Truth is not what makes the majority, or what the majority say is true. That's just relativism. Truth is not believing all truth claims are equally valid. That's pluralism. Truth is not simply what is claims, or what it claims to equally, or what is equally valid, because, well, that's just wrong. That's gullibility. A lie believed is still a lie. I can tell you guys all, this is the most beautiful, absolutely gorgeous green shirt I own. You just believed a lie. A lie is still a lie. The place to begin is always with the question, what does the Bible say? Now, Steve Lawson lays it out clearly. He says, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. All truth must be defined in terms of God, whose very nature is truth. According to the scriptures, God the Father is the God of truth, says Isaiah 65. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, according to John 1:14. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17. And the Bible is the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And if the Word tells us these things are true, then we must mark everything and measure everything by them. So let's consider some distinguishing properties of truth. Truth is divine. Truth is from above. It's not determined by opinion polls. Ultimately, all truth is God's truth because He is the sole author of truth. Romans chapter 3 says this: let God be true through everyone, though everyone were a liar. Truth is divine, but truth is also eternal. It's not just here today and gone tomorrow. What was true yesterday will be true next year. It doesn't change. Psalm 119, verse 160 says that the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Truth is eternal. But truth is also absolute. The truth is exclusive. It's not inclusive. Truth is real. It's not relative. Truth is incompatible with and intolerant of error. Proverbs chapter 30 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Truth is absolute. But truth is also objective. The Bible is objective truth that is always true in every place at all times. Romans chapter 1 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. But truth is also immutable. God does not change. And if God does not change and God is truth, then change does not truth. Neither does his truth. Right is always right and wrong is always wrong. Truth is never outdated or obsolete. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever is God's word settled. It's true. It will forever be that way. It will never become obsolete or outdated. It doesn't change. But truth is also authoritative. When Jesus says it, that settles it. It's done. John chapter 12 says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. See, truth is wrapped up in a person. Jesus rises above our culture, our confusion, and shout-outs. It shouts out, I am truth. Get to know me, and you will discover what is totally true and transforming. And Jesus declares, John 14 declares this about Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And since Jesus is truth, we must be ready at all times to tell others the truth about him. We read in John chapter 8, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who has sinned is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, Jesus and his disciples had this dialogue about truth. And in this dialogue, I see, ironically, three truths. The first one is, be at home in the truth of God's word. See, Jesus began with a conditional clause. If you abide in my word. The word abide means to dwell in, to remain in, to continue in, to live in. It referred to staying in the house and becoming in love with that place. That the house became no longer your house, but your home. Are you at home in the Word of God? I know that in my home, there's lots of stuff. Anybody else have a home full of stuff? Yeah. But if I were to ask you, in your home, where would I find a glass to put water in? You would be able to say, well, go into the kitchen and open the cupboard, this particular cupboard, and on this shelf you will find a glass to, right? You can do that. But if I were to ask you, where would I find a tack? Some of you may go, I think I have, but I'm not really sure. It's just like a home. Can you tell me where in the Bible it says? Oh, I know it's in there, but we're home in the Bible. We may not know where every single verse, what it says, but we need to be at home in the Bible. We need to know it well enough to know, yes, I actually have one of those. It actually does say that. I can't quite remember where, but I know that it is in there. I've got one. I'll search for it. I'll find it for you. Are you at home in the Word of God? Can you continue in the Word of God? The Word is our home. Don't be an occasional guest in the Word of God. Don't be someone who owns a copy of it, but never cracks it open. Who has it on their phone, but you haven't opened that app in 3 months. You haven't scrolled through it. You haven't done anything with it. Be at home in the Word of God, folks. Sit in it and soak in the truth of the Scriptures. Jesus uses the singular, my word, not my words, meaning that he's referring to the sum total of all that he taught. From Genesis to Revelation. In John 14, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Is God's word at home in you? Is it your home? What you believe about God's word will determine how you view the world around you. If your worldview doesn't come from God's word, well, then it has to come from the world. And then it's just a worldly view. The only way to identify truth and to detect error is to dwell in God's word. True disciples live in God's word and allow God's word to live in them. When Jesus is challenging, he challenged his disciples with unfettered truth, including some very difficult demands. He asked them if they wanted to stop following him like others had done. And Peter spoke up for the entire team in John chapter 6. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He's saying, where else can we possibly go but you? But secondly, we need to get to know truth found in Jesus. And you will know the truth, it said, or Jesus said. Incredibly, Jesus references truth 7 times in this short little section of Scripture. And since this verse is often taken out of context, it's important to realize that truth is not primarily a principle or a philosophy or a platform. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. If you want to know the truth, get to know the one who is truth and follow the truth of what he says in his word of truth. Jesus always tells the truth about our condition, about our need for salvation, about how to be born again, how to pray, how to forgive, how to love, how to live. Do you know the truth found in Jesus? I hope you do. But the third truth that I see is to find freedom in the truth of salvation. And the truth will set you free. You see, Jesus came to set us free from sin. And the Jewish leaders who were listening to the Lord, they didn't like hearing that they needed to be set free. So they began to push back. Set free? We're the offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, for religious leaders, I question their history. Do they not know? Had they forgotten about Moses and Egypt and all of that? 400 years they were enslaved. And yet to make this bold claim, we are children of Abraham, no one has ever enslaved. What? That's what they said. We've never been slaves of anyone. So they themselves, I don't even know. Did they forget about Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, living under the Romans? They're just not honest. They had a warped view of their own goodness, thinking that because they kept some rules, because they were born in the line of Abraham, they were somehow good to go. But Jesus is saying that sin leads to bondage. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You see, these religious guys thought they were spiritually superior, but Jesus made it clear that apart from a relationship with him, the only one who is truly true, everyone is in bondage to sin. You cannot be freed from sin until you admit the truth that you are enslaved to sin. Jesus, well, he's the bondage breaker. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And this is more evidence that the Son is truth itself, because verse 32 says that truth, the Son, will set you free. The Christian faith is liberating, since we don't have to build our lives on our truth. Instead, we repent and receive the one who is called and proved himself to be the truth. And then we will be free. When the world around us is telling us its truth, we must develop discernment to know God's truth. The truth of the world has stumbled. It stumbles and it stumbles. The truth has become actually one of the scarcest commodities in the world. Within the Western world, the vast majority of people do not believe in absolute truth. And without the clarity and the consistency of an absolute moral truth, we are reduced to doing what seems right, what feels good, what produces the least resistance, and what provides the greatest personal fulfillment. But none of those are truth. In a world which no longer believes in an absolute truth and embraces outright egregious errors, it is imperative for followers of Christ to be discerning, Truth is not what is always convenient. It's not what is popular. I recently read that it is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. Anybody else agree? Doesn't that make more sense? Doesn't that make logical? I'd rather be divided by what is true than be united in something that is false and error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than a falsehood that comforts and ends up killing you. It's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong in the multitude. It's better to ultimately succeed with truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. You see, the Bible tells the truth about God as creator, of how scriptures are sufficient, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from our sins. And the judgment that we deserve, it's all laid out. The question is, how can we develop discernment? The first thing is to settle the source of truth. Psalm 119, "But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." At the Kingdom or Chaos seminar a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded that the Bible and science are not actually against one another, because all truth is ultimately God's truth. And while science has helped us discover amazing facts about God's creation, and most pioneers of science, they actually believed in God. They believed in Him as creator. But most scientists today believe that science disproves God. But God says, "I am." And if you look at what science is really pointing at, you realize it points towards God. It really, truly does. And as believers, we must honestly tell the truth about right and wrong. We must call sin a sin and not attempt to water down what it really is. Because we are living in days similar to those described in Judges 21. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And Isaiah 5 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Fellow followers of Jesus Christ, it is time for us to be unshaken in our faith and unashamed of the gospel itself. We must stand up for the truth. We must stand up for Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Here's a statement a fellow minister has written. "What used to be considered an abomination, which has led to a lamentation, has become a celebration, demanding participation and affirmation. What was formerly unthinkable has become unquestionable. And since Christians are often canceled when they tell the truth, many have chosen to cave, compromise, or remain quiet. We can no longer be silent. We must be unshaken in our faith and unashamed of the gospel. It is time for us to be convictional about sin, courageous for our Savior, while being compassionate towards sinners as we witness to the timeless truth of Jesus, who alone can be set, or who alone can set us free from our sins. Amen. In order to have discernment, we must test the teachings that you hear. Not every bestseller in the book, is a good one. Not every podcast is worth your time. Not every popular preacher is worth listening to. 1 John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." That includes what you hear today. Take it home. By about 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's going to be back online again. If you need to listen to it again, listen to it again. And test it and put it towards the scripture and say, is this truth? We need to know the truth of the Bible if we're ever going to spot error. I'm told that bank tellers are being trained to recognize counterfeits, but counterfeit money. They're simply given genuine money, real money. Get to know the real thing. So that when you are handed something that isn't real, you instantly feel it and spot it and see it and say, this isn't right. This isn't the real thing. This is counterfeit. We must also recognize Satan as a liar. Satan and his evil forces always attack the truth and are behind the telling of lies and the taking of innocent lives. Jesus said it clearly in John chapter 8. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Ultimately, we need to live on mission in our messed up world. We can find encouragement from the words of Corrie ten Boom, who described the deplorable conditions of her imprisonment when she said, "And I would know again that in darkness God's truth shines most clear." And since Jesus is truth, we must be ready at all times to tell others the truth about him. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do that today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after? Are you willing to live Christ? We began today in a movie and then went to a different court scene. But I want to go back to that court scene in John chapter 18. "You are a king then?" said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" said Pilate. Pilate's question to Jesus still echoes down through the centuries. Sadly, truth incarnation, truth incarnated, was standing right in front of him and he missed it. For Pilate, it was just a rhetorical question that he didn't really want an answer to. It's hard to know what he was actually thinking, whether was he curious or cynical, indifferent, irritated, insincere. But what is clear is that he acted upon what was expected. He said, "What is truth?" And then he went back outside. He didn't stick around for the answer. Truth truth is not so much a what, but a who. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. J. Warner Wallace wrote this, "I am not a Christian because it works for me. I had a life prior to Christ, or to Christianity, that seemed to be working just fine. And my life as a Christian hasn't always been easy. I am a Christian because it is true. I am a Christian because I want to live in the way that reflects the truth. I am a Christian because my high regard for the truth leaves me no alternative." So I ask you this morning, can you handle the truth of the gospel? Because we are sinners, Jesus offered his life in our place, taking the blame for all of our sin and all of our shame. And amazing, his amazing grace absolutely obliterates our atrocious guilt. And when God sent his son and he went to that cross and his blood was shed, the Father accepted that sacrifice of his son, of his son's life, as a full and final payment for our sins. God's righteous and holy wrath was fully satisfied by the death and the resurrection of our living Lord Jesus. He is the truth, and he can set you free. The truth of Jesus is kind of like a lighthouse in the pitch dark. Its light is out there in the night, shining brightly for all to see. Is he your lighthouse today? Worship team, that you guys picked an amazing song. Will you come and lead us in that closing song, My Lighthouse? If he is your lighthouse and you are able to stand and sing along with this amazing song, My Lighthouse.